The following lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg was recorded live and is presented to you free of charge by Galilei Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginzburg. Galilei Institute is a non-profit organization and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org or email us at inner@inner.org.
In the Torah portion of Ki Tetzeh, we find the greatest number of mitzvot of the 613 commandments of the Torah than in all other portions in the Torah. One of the mitzvot here describes also a very important image that we'll meditate upon this week, which appears at the beginning of the third portion. We know that every Torah portion is divided into seven different readings. And the third reading, Shlishi, begins with the verse, Ki tivne bayit chadash, when you will build a new house. V'yasita ma'akeh l'gagecha, you shall build and make a fence around the roof of your house. And then it continues to explain why it's a mitzvah to make a fence around the roof. V'lo tasim damim beveitecha, in order that you shall not place blood, means that there shouldn't be innocent blood in your house. Ki yipol hanofel mimeno, lest someone falls off the roof. So in order to prevent that danger, the potential danger of someone falling off the roof, one is a very important commandment in the Torah is to make a ma'akeh. A ma'akeh is a fence around the roof. From this commandment in the Torah, we learn in general that a Jew must always be aware and conscious of protecting other people from likely or potential danger. And if something is necessary to be done, to be constructed and made in order to prevent danger, so this also is a mitzvah which is derived from this mitzvah. But since this is the origin of the very concept of preventing, being aware of the potential danger and doing something actual in order to prevent danger, because of the infinite importance of life, so this image itself must represent the epitome of the value of life and the fact that we must always have in mind the objective to prevent danger to life, in order never to create a situation in which God forbid there will be blood shed in any way, especially in your own very house, lest someone fall off your roof. Right, so this is then the image that we'll try to contemplate upon this week. Actually, we have here three levels. We have a house, actually a new house that you are building, and then we have on the top of the house a roof. And then the Torah says that the mitzvah is to now build a fence around the roof. So we have house and roof and fence. We'll start with a very beautiful verse, another image from the book of Psalms that reads that King David, the author of the Psalms, in praying to Hashem, says that I have been diligent, shakatati va'ehyeh, and I shall become kitzipor boded al gag, just like a bird that is all alone in a state of solitude, of existential solitude, on the roof. Now, if you're a bird on the roof, we spoke some weeks ago in Parashat Ve'etchanan about Mashiach, who is the son of David, appearing actually through the window, flying through the window as a bird. Here the image is a bird all alone on the roof. The Mashiach is described as being a bird in the nest in the Garden of Eden before his soul is sent down to this world to redeem the Jewish people and to redeem all of humanity and the whole of creation. First he's in the bird nest as a bird himself. But here in this verse in Psalms it says that he's on the roof. There's another related image that the sages say, teach us in the Midrash, that the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, very, very often quoted this Midrash and this image, when the Mashiach will come speedily in our days, so he will appear on the roof of the temple, and on the roof he will turn to the whole Jewish people, to the whole world, and say to the Jewish people, Anavim higia zman gulatchem. The humble, you know, the most important property in order to merit the coming of the Mashiach and the true and complete redemption of the world is humility. It says, you the humble ones, higia zman gulatchem, the time of your redemption has finally come. But he says these words, Anavim higia zman gulatchem, standing on the roof of the temple. Now actually on the temple roof there was constructed something like a fence, not a true or complete fence, but there was something like resembling a fence around the temple. On the other hand, if you're a bird, if a person sees himself as a bird can fly, so a bird really doesn't need a fence around the roof, because he's not there's no problem with his falling off the roof and being killed. He's a bird, he can fly. So obviously when we're reading this verse, it's the literal, and this is a commandment, a down-to-earth tangible commandment of the Torah, that we're talking about human beings, not about birds, obviously. And for human beings it's very dangerous to be on a roof without a fence, because you can fall off and be killed. Actually it says that the word that's used here in this verse is, you shall not place blood in your house. Now the word blood, dam, here it's in the plural damim, but the singular dam are the second two letters of the three letters of the word for man himself, Adam. Adam is Aleph Dam. When the person falls off and is killed, that which is being hurt or destroyed are the two letters Dam in the word Adam. But the first letter Aleph, that's not touched, even if he falls off, because that's like the inner soul, which is eternal, which is also like a bird, that the Aleph of man doesn't need the fence to protect it. But the two letters Dam, the Dal and the Mem of man, of Adam, do need the fence to protect them. And so now we have several images together. We have the simple pshat, the literal meaning, that a person, when you build a new house, you have to construct a ma'akeh in order to prevent someone from falling off. We have the bird in solitude on the roof. That bird doesn't really need a fence, because again, the bird can fly. And then we have the Mashiach. The Mashiach is a human being. He does need something like a fence, because even though he's the Mashiach, but he's also a human being. And he's standing on the roof of the temple, and he's proclaiming to the whole Jewish people, and he is coming, that the Anavim, the humble ones, the time of your redemption has come. So now we'll try to deepen our understanding about the secret of building the new house and building the Ma'akeh. The first thing is that it says it's a new house, implying that every old house is thus taken for granted, that every old house must have a Ma'akeh. But this is a commandment. It says, Ki tivne bayit chadash, when you build a new house. A new house is like the third and final temple in Jerusalem, which is called the new temple. Anything which is new also alludes to the coming of the Mashiach, who comes to teach us a new dimension, a new inner dimension of the Torah that was never revealed before. the whole people of Israel is very often called the house of Israel. The lineage of David is called Bet David, the house of Machut Bet David, the kingdom of the house of David. It all has to be renewed. This commandment is very unique here in the way that it's expressed in the Torah. It comes on a state of consciousness which is of newness. Now, even if we go back to the word before the new house, the Bayit Chadash, it says, when you shall build a new house, ki tivneh Bayit Chadash, that word tivneh can be read tivuna. Tivuna means deep understanding. Tivuna is the origin of the oral Torah. We're taught in Kabbalah Chassidut that there's something special about this command, about this particular commandment of protecting life and not allowing for any danger to remain, and to do active deeds in order to prevent dangers. So this is one of the central and original thoughts behind the oral tradition of the Torah. We know that the Torah was given in a double form, in its written form, which are the five books of Moses, together with all of the other books of the Bible, and the oral tradition, which are the laws that are passed down from generation to generation, also beginning from Moshe Rabbeinu receiving the Torah, both written and oral, at Sinai. Actually, we're taught that the oral tradition even began before Sinai, before the giving of the Torah, because it began with the patriarchs. It began as Derech Eretz, the way of the land, precedes the giving of the formal Torah. That is the actual beginning of the oral tradition. Now, that oral tradition in Kabbalah is called Tevunah, comes from Tevunah. The written Torah comes from Chochmah. But the oral tradition comes from Tevunah, from understanding. Relatively, they're male and female. Chochmah is male, that's where the written Torah comes from. It's a male mental intellectual faculty, whereas Tevunah is the corresponding female mentality, and that's the origin of the oral tradition. So in this very phrase that it says in the Torah, Ki Tivneh Bayit Chadash, the word Tivneh, which can be read Tevunah, alludes to the fact that this building of a new house is coming from this mind space, we'll call it, of Tevunah, and it's the place also in the mind that dictates to us that we must make a fence around the roof of the house, of this new house that we're building. So what is that? That's a very, very clear allusion to the oral Torah. Here we're now reading and we're meditating upon a verse from the five books of Moses, which is the oral, for this, the written Torah. But there's a very, very strong reference and allusion in this verse to the origin and to the purpose, actually, of the oral tradition. Because it says that the whole purpose of the oral tradition is explicitly to create a fence around the Torah, to protect the Torah itself from entering itself into any spiritual state of danger, so to speak. The very first teaching of the oral tradition is Asu Siyag da Torah, make a fence around the Torah. So the fact that this is the commandment of making a fence around one's roof, we have to understand that there's something about a roof, that's also the oral tradition is coming from the roof of the house, as though the written tradition is inside the house and has also different dimensions, old dimensions and new dimensions. And here we're understanding a new dimension of the house itself. But then now we go in our consciousness, we go up to the roof. And the roof is especially where the oral tradition is coming from. And we have to make a fence around that roof to protect it, to make sure that no one falls off. So now we have the very same word, or the very same concept, which is the fence, the protective fence, as it appears in our verse, which is a verse from the written Torah, and as it appears at the very beginning of the Mishnah of the Oral Torah. that here it appears as ma'akeh. The word ma'akeh, the numerical value of ma'akeh is 215. And in the oral tradition itself, the very same concept appears as siyag, which equals 73. When these two numbers are added together, 215 and 73, they equal 288. Now, 288 is, if we could have to, maybe just in one hand, five fingers, what are the five most important numbers in Kabbalah? So one of them would definitely be the number 288, which is the number of sparks that have fallen into creation in accordance with the creative process by which first God intentionally creates a world that is not stable. It has two great energies to it, and it collapses. And the result of that collapse is that 288 sparks are dispersed and are captured, as it were, within reality and hidden within reality. And the whole purpose of the souls of man and the souls of the Jewish people descending into this, into our world, are in order to redeem these 288 fallen sparks. And when all of those sparks will be redeemed, then the true and complete redemption with Mashiach will be imminent. So these two words together, the word as it appears in the written Torah Ma'akeh, together with its corresponding word in the oral tradition Siyag, both of them equal 288. Just in pure terms of numbers, 288 is a double square number. It's 2 times 12 squared, meaning that the average value of these two words, Ma'akeh and Siyag, is 12 squared. The initial letters of the two words, the Mem and the Samach, the Mem of Ma'akeh and the Samach of Siyag, together equal 100, which is 10 squared. So these two words actually fit very, very nicely together. And the most important phenomena, as we just now said, that together they equal 288. We'll just mention one other very amazing phenomenon about these two numbers. Ma'akeh is 215 once more, and Siyag is 73. If I perform a mathematical function, which is called taking the triangular value of the number, the triangular value of a number means adding all numbers from 1 to that number. So the triangular value of 215, which means the summation of all numbers from 1 to 215, equals 23,220. Whereas the sum of all numbers from 1 to 73, which is Siyag, equals 2,701. If I add those two numbers together, then I'll receive a number 25,921, but this number itself is a perfect square. It's 161 squared. Now, 161 in Kabbalah is also an important number because it's one of the mystical, the Kabbalistic divine names of Hashem, which equals 161. It's the name that has to do with Tivuna, that very faculty of the mind that we mentioned before, which is here, that faculty or that driving spiritual force that's building in the first place a new house, means creating a situation that we have now a new dimension of the Torah is being revealed, and that dimension itself has its roof. Its roof means its epitome, and when one reaches the epitome of that new dimension, of that Bayit Chadash, then one has to be sure to build a fence around it. Now, to conclude, what does the fence, the Siyag, mean? First of all, before we'll continue to discuss the importance of 288, which are the fallen sparks in reality, what does the fence mean in our service of Hashem? Because ultimately, even whenever we meditate, so we're trying to base all of our meditations on the Torah readings by emphasizing the one central image of the Torah portion that we can actually visualize. And also were trying to bring in many different numerical phenomena that that reinforce and beautify the meditation. But the most important thing, of course, is what is always understanding what it means in our service of Hashem, in our divine service. So we're taught in Kabbalah that the secret of offense is a certain light. It's actually it's a field of light that also protects one from falling, spiritually falling and physically falling, and that light is called the light of the Chashmal, is the term in Kabbalah and Chassidut. Chashmal in modern Hebrew is translated as electricity. It's a word that appears only at the beginning of the book of Yechezkel in the description, in the prophetic vision of the divine chariot, which is the deepest and most mystical part of the whole Bible. Often it's actually translated as the light of the electrum, which is actually a certain type of color of light. So it does possess some relationship to electricity. And even the Gemara, the Talmud, relates that that once there was a young child that was very, very spiritual, and he was playing with chashma, with electricity, and he became electrified. And he died, meaning that's actually dangerous, the chashmal itself, the electricity. But the electricity itself is here, is actually the secret in Kabbalah of the fence, which protects you from falling and prevents the danger, the imminent danger of the roof without the fence. First, maybe we'll clarify something that we alluded to before but didn't express explicitly, that reaching the roof of an idea, we did say it's like reaching the climax or the epitome of the idea. When one comes to a high, it's like we would even say in the idiom in English that you've reached a high. That when you've reached a high in your experience or even in the insight of the intellect, that's where the danger is present. That at the high point, which is the Gag, the roof, if you won't have a fence there, you might, God forbid, fall off the roof of your new house, which is your new consciousness, your new dimension of the Torah, which is actually a messianic dimension, as we alluded to before. Now, in our service of Hashem, the Baal Shem Tov teaches us that the secret of the Chashmal, of this, it's an electric fence, around the roof. So the secret of that one's service of Hashem is first and foremost the always being in a state of existential lowliness, which is called submission, hachna, and from that state of submission coming to a second state of being, which is called separation, havdada, and then coming to a third level of consciousness and experience, which is called hamtaka, sweetening. And we cannot now go in depth into this cycle, but in many of our classes, in our books, so this is one of the most central concepts. Actually, in our service of God, this is the most important and central concept of how to properly serve Hashem in every facet of one's life, is first being in a state of submission and then separation, which means the ability in the soul to clearly separate between positive and negative energies, and finally to be able to sweeten all of reality, meaning even some of the negative in reality, to be able to reincorporate it into the good and sweeten it, make it also full of light and goodness. That spiritual service itself is the secret of the fence. The fence means always to be aware that in my service, and especially in my highs, when I reach high level of consciousness, even high levels of experience of the messianic powers that Hashem has given me, because Hashem gives every individual messianic powers. So defense is the continual consciousness of this teaching, of the most basic teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, that I must begin always, every moment anew, with submission to Hashem, and then to separate in my own self between good and evil. And finally, then, and only then, can I myself, like the Mashiach, address the world around me, which is my own environment, because every single soul is responsible for rectifying his own environment, and say that humble ones, it all begins with humility, that's the hachna'a, the submission. So if I myself begin with humility, I will be protected on the roof. And then I say to the whole world around, humble ones, the time of your redemption has come. Now the conclusion is, what is your redemption? The redemption is the redemption of these 288 sparks, which also equal, as we just noted before, the sum of the two words from Mach and Siach. The final phrase in this verse is, lest the someone falls off. But it's expressed in a very unique way. It doesn't say lest someone, just a unknown person falls off the roof. It says lest the faller falls off the roof. Ki pola nofel mimeno, which the sages understand to mean that actually it was decreed, this person that's going to fall was always falling off, is defined here as a faller. That he's someone who's liable, even before he falls off the roof, to fall off the roof. Meaning that if he falls off the roof, it's as though he in some way deserved even to fall off the roof. Nonetheless, even though he's one who is a faller, if you will perform this mitzvah of the Torah, you will prevent the faller himself from falling off the roof. Now, who are these fallers that the Torah is talking about? So it's taught explicitly in Kabbalah that these fallers are these 288 fallen sparks. That they're already, from the very beginning of creation, from this primordial world, which is called the world of chaos that collapsed, they're already in a state of falling. They're always falling. It's like one who is, even in our mind, in our experience, in a state of fall, of existential fall. This commandment is to raise up and redeem those fallen sparks, those 288. That's the very power of this fence. So the final conclusion is that we have to now come to appreciate much deeper than before the very meaning of the oral tradition. That the origin of the oral tradition is in this mitzvah, this commandment of making a ma'akeh, because it prevents from falling, and it prevents the fallers, the already fallen ones, from falling more. Means that it lifts up those fallen sparks and redeems them. So we have to try very, very strongly to identify with the oral tradition of the Torah, which obviously is the partner, it's the mate, it's the wife of the written dimension of the Torah, and together to build a new house with the roof and with the ma'akeh. And even eventually, ultimately, it says in the seventh millennium, we'll all become like eagles and birds. Then we won't need even a fence, because as we said before, then we'll be flying. Try to put all of these images together, but now what's most important is to redeem through the means of this mitzvah of the ma'akeh and the siag, to uplift and redeem all of the 288 fallen sparks.
You have been listening to a lecture by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg, recorded and presented to you free of charge by Galina Institute. Your donation will help us to bring an ever-expanding selection of quality audio lectures by Rabbi Ginsburg. Galina Institute is a non-profit organization, and all donations are tax-deductible in the USA. To donate, just click on the Donate button on the Inner Dimension homepage at www.inner.org. www.inner.org. In Hebrew, Galinai means, open my eyes. These words are from the verse in Psalms, open my eyes, that I may behold the wonders of your Torah. Under the leadership of Rabbi Ginsburg, our goal is to open the world's eyes to the light of the inner dimension of Torah, to discover God, and to connect to Him in all that we do. As we learn from the Baal Shem Tov, spreading this light will hasten the complete and true redemption. We invite you to join the Galley Night team and participate with Rabbi Ginsburg in learning, teaching, and spreading the inner dimension of Torah, Kabbalah, and Hasidut. Together, the Galley Night team will change the world, bringing God's loving kindness, health, happiness, and true peace to all. For more information about Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg's teachings and how to participate with the Galley Night team, visit the Inner Dimension website at www.inner.org. www.inner.org, or email us at inner@inner.org.